I gotta say, then when we decided to start up a new podcast, I was a little worried. We had already invested so much time and effort into previous campaigns, and it felt a little bittersweet leaving this behind. But with the new mic setup, the new characters, new AP, and most of all, Pathfinder 2nd Edition, my concerns are now just dust in the wind. I have been so excited to start this adventure with you guys, and for those of you at home, I couldn't be happier to welcome you to the first episode of the Dragon Punch Squad podcast.
Aw, yeah!
You decided. That's good.
It is a good name. I like
That's
it.
Good.
I am Jake, the GM, and I will be leading you and the players through this adventure. We are starting the first adventure path for Paizo's new Pathfinder 2nd Edition entitled Age of Ashes. At the time of recording this first session, they haven't even finished the entire AP, so even I don't know the end of it. So I hope you enjoy this time as much as we do. With that said, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. Let's talk about your name, what you do for a job, if you want, how long you've been doing RPGs. Plug your social media if you like to. I'm definitely going to. As well, talk about your favorite fast food joint. I really want people to people listening at home to or in the car to really know what we're all about. So I'm Jake, as I said, GM. I work in DC for Fiber Optic. I have been playing tabletop role-playing games for 18 years now. Started at 10 because my dad was a huge nerd, too. And you can follow me on Twitter at Wookiee Smash. Follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/jakery. Instagram at GMJakery. There's a few others in there I probably missed, but we'll move on.
I'm Kelly McCoy. I will be the hero of this podcast who will lead these sorry sons of bitches on their floundering adventure.
Yeah, here he is. Here he goes.
Love you too, man.
yeah, of course. Okay. I work in Baltimore. I'm playing Pathfinder or D&D 3.5 for about 10 years since I met Jake. And I have a weird story that my favorite fast food is actually Taco Bell. But only because in high school I thought it was the worst fast food of all time. Because I thought all it did was give me the shits.
Have you not had a cheesy gordita crunch? Those things are amazing.
Seriously, all I do is think about Taco Bell.
Understandable.
We were on the way home from Frederick last night after dinner, and all I could think about was fucking Taco Bell.
See, but it's my favorite too, but that's because the shredded chicken quesarito is just a godsend. It's just incredible.
See, so, a powerful piece of food.
I remember when the cheesy gordita crunch wasn't actually on the menu, and it was one of those like optional things that you had especially requested.
The secret menu on Taco Bell.
Just the secret menu, and then you had to like eat it while driving, and it was the best.
I don't think you had to do that.
So in this Pathfinder podcast, let's talk about more fast food.
Actually, we're the fast food podcast.
I'm Timothy Kofelt. Entrepreneur, but not really. I just sit at a computer all day and type code because I'm a monkey.
Intern.
Code monkey. Intern, yes. Intern, yes. Lest I forget my lowly position. My story is pretty similar to Kelly's, not in the Taco Bell sense, but my love of Pathfinder started with my love of Jake. Mm. Well, I'm not married to him. Just to clarify.
It's getting hot in here.
So when Jake started when Jake started dating my sister, he introduced all kinds of practices to the Kofeld house, and one of those was Satan's game, Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, the satanic pen.
But immediately I fell in love with it. I've always been an imaginative person, so it fit right in. Which is kind of ironic because the coding I do is pretty mundane. Anyway, so my favorite fast food, and I miss to say with all the hype, but my favorite fast food is Popeyes. And let me explain. Mm. It was before the chicken sandwich. Before they put that glorious crispy chicken between two pieces of bread. Who was there in line? I was. Who was eating the red beans and rice? I was.
Tim, do you have a dream?
I have a dream. And it involves that everyone gets Popeye's chicken with that black and ranch sauce.
Now tell me, with your fast food
choice. He's weeping actual tears.
He is. But tell me, with your choice, is that the one that has Baja Blast as a Mountain Dew choice? Or is
Oh my gosh. You shut your dirty mouth. That's Taco Bell and you know it.
Is that Taco Bell? I believe
that. Yeah, Taco Bell is Baja Blast. Oh, that's because
back in where I used to work, it was Taco Bell and Popeyes combined in the one store, so we had access to all the fountain drinks.
So you had the privilege of getting Popeyes.
Oh, we had the stock.
But Popeyes food, but Taco Bell drinks.
Yes. Oh,
man. Wow.
Baja Blast with Popeyes chicken, I can't even fathom.
Whenever there's Baja Blast like at the store, I always just make a beeline down that aisle when I see it, and my wife is just like, oh, yeah, I guess we're buying that. I can't stop you.
For me, Popeyes is a solid 1B.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, how you guys doing? I am Jonathan Grimplin. You might know me as Gentleman John or Balthazar from my many gaming tags. I'm a plant healthcare specialist for a tree care company, which is a very fancy way of saying I spray rich people's trees. my adventure in tabletop RPGs started much like Tim's when I met Jake and became good friends with him. My favorite fast food chain, you know, I was going to say Taco Bell, but I'm gonna hold it up. It's Popeyes, man.
Wow. Yes.
Gotta be Popeyes.
Good.
So it's divided down the middle and there's
very much is.
Oh, I don't break that. Really? No, just completely. I'm not the one actually breaking it all. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
So
my favorite fast food is Cava.
My favorite fast food is Nando's. But you pay. I mean, which pino actually would work?
I mean, yeah.
Nando's, but I would technically. It's not actually. You sit down and eat that. But for fast food, anyway, let me.
What's
start
your name
from
first?
The beginning? Yes, I was going to start from there. I am Mark. I refuse to say my last name because you can find it in the fan book quite easily because there's like four of me in the entire U.S. So have fun with that. I work currently at facilities management at University of Maryland. So I actually never really played D&D or Pathfinder until probably, was it 4 years ago when you invited me to the game?
Wait, really? Yeah.
I've never played beforehand. I've watched Lord of the Rings. I've watched, you know, all these other nerdy shit. Watched the D&D cartoon at the time and thought that's how it was and felt be a loser.
It's fascinating how we all took different roads to Pathfinder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, for that, I always had an interest in it. Like, I played Diablo.
It's a wide
road. I played
road.
Baldur's Gate and stuff like that, but I never actually...
Yeah, but Baldur's Gate is literally just
D&D.
Yeah,
but I never actually had the opportunity of playing with an actual group.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. As for fast food, I will actually say something else and say Five Guys.
Okay,
I love,
solid one.
Yeah,
I love
good.
Five Guys inside of me.
I'd like to think that 5 years ago, Jake had the idea for this podcast, and all he had to do was convince four friends to play Dungeons & Dragons.
You don't understand that I live by the seat of my pants every day. I don't plan a damn thing.
Oh no!
I always go, you know, it'd be a cool idea, and then I'll go on a tangent for like a month, and then if it doesn't work out, I'm like, whatever, and then I just move on. That's the extent of my planning. Yeah. So to quote Crunk, it's all coming together.
Solid old reference.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah. So I think we wasted enough time. Yes. I can't believe two people here prefer Popeyes over Taco Bell, but you know, let us begin.
Yes.
You don't want to talk about fast food?
I would love to talk about fast food, but it would be really weird for us to continue for almost 20 minutes on fast food.
Do we have sponsorships?
Maybe by the time this comes
Popeyes?
Out.
Taco Bell?
Taco Bell?
Look.
Together?
Popeyes and Taco Bell, if you really like this show.
$100 right here. $1,000.
Please sponsor us.
Patreon. We will do literally anything.
Yeah, we will.
After wasting enough time, let us begin.
Okay, go.
A deep night sky stretches across the horizon. Trees reach up from the ground, giving the land of Eisger a rich and beautiful landscape. As a gentle breeze cascades over the tree line, the branches of various trees caress each other with a comforting whoosh. The air is chilly as the winter months are slowly approaching. The denizens of the forest are peacefully sleeping, with the exception of a few crickets and the nighttime frogs, all singing their tranquil ballads. Your eye catches a billow of smoke floating up from the forest floor. We follow it to find a kindly-looking old man standing just under a lush fir tree. He has white boots that come to the point at the toe, elegant clothes with a long gold-trimmed cloak. He brings the pipe in his hand to his full beard and tucks it between his lips. The old man takes a long drag, and the light from the chamber of his pipe shines brightly upon his face with a warm amber glow. You see in his eyes he is concerned, almost as if he has a terrible decision to make. He lets out another puff of smoke, bigger than himself, and grumbles under his breath. By the way, he is played by Sir Alec Guinness. Not again. I must do something to stop this. He leans over and clutches his gilded robe. These fools, they cannot begin to understand the importance of my endeavors. Perhaps I was wrong about them, but they must try again with a different approach this time. The old man pulls himself together and walks through the tree line into a clearing. A group of 50 people stand frantic and confused, pacing about and shouting at each other, wondering how they're going to survive in the woods without hardly any provisions or assistance. Some others huddle in fear while the ones wielding swords threaten each other in self-defense. The old man in golden robes walks to the center of the clearing and begins speaking to all of them.
Fear not, citizens. My name is Lord Layman Breachton. It appears that all of you have experienced some sort of mass amnesia. A strange occurrence, but to be sure. But I will dedicate my time to helping you. Come now, let me show you can survive in this frightening environment.
The people stood there in disbelief. Some threatened him in self-defense, while others swore fealty for saving their lives. He eventually eased their fears and led them to a small outpost. Its few humble beginnings helped them start to rebuild their lives from the predicament they found themselves in. Over the next year, Layman the Wizard became known as the savior of the people who found themselves lost and destitute in the woods. He taught them how to build, hunt, forage, and even hired some craftsmen to teach some trade skills. The little outpost in which they found themselves eventually blossomed and thrived into the town it is today. Then he just left, never to return. They knew wizards were awfully busy and must have more important things to tend to, but they never forgot his name. Breachhill got its namesake from the kind and dedicated old man. They even built a statue resembling the finely dressed wizard in the center of town. The image of his figure has been a shining beacon for Breachhill. They still love and adore Lord Layman and his legendary kindness. Some even have such a following and admiration for him that it might seem like a religion. Today, the statue stands upright and pristine as the day it was first erected in the center of town. Today, it looks even more magnificent than normal. Perhaps it is the bright sun shining upon his gentle bearded face, or maybe it is just the hustle and bustle of the town. It is, after all, this month's Call for Heroes meeting at Town Hall. A joyous occasion for everyone, not just for adventurers and champions of the realm. Since this tradition has been happening once a month for decades, quite a few traditions have been built up around it, one of which starts at the Wizard's Grace. People gather around to tell the tale of Layman's great deeds so many years ago and follow up with stories of their own. Some might get a bit too rowdy from drinking so early, but it is a good day regardless.
This morning we see an old man named Tarith Uswald, a seasoned adventurer in the middle of a story of a glorious victory that he's told many times before. The smell of boar stew with lentils fills the air. A crowd sits around him in sturdy chairs. All eyes are focused on Tarith.
I turned to his flank. I saw the rage in his eyes.
The crowd around him seems to lean in further in anticipation.
He came right at me. His massive head and tusk aimed at my gut. He slammed against my trusty shield and knocked me to the ground. Luckily for me, his tusk was caught on my targe handle. He flung me about, trying to shake me off, but I took this opportunity to plunge my spear deep into his eye.
The crowd gasped.
I reared back and hit him again in the mouth. Finally pulled once more and skewered him through the neck, all the way to his heart. The creature lay there for a moment before its warm blood began spilling from its wounds.
He picks up a bowl of stew and says,
"And that, my friends, is how bowl became my favorite dinner."
Tarith finishes with a hearty chuckle and a few gulps from his bowl. The crowd cheers and begins milling amongst themselves.
Huzzah!
So, it is the morning of the Call for Heroes. And a woman approaches you two. Tim and Kelly's characters. Oh, you two look like outsiders here. Can I get you a drink?
Well, Kezra, do you care for a beverage at this hour in the morning?
Don't care for a drink now. But how about some coffee?
I think I could use a bowl of soup if you have it.
Oh, yes, there's tons of beef stew for you. Why don't you go ahead and describe your characters?
So my character, whose name is yet to be revealed, is clothed in very fine, priestly robes. He carries himself shoulders back, head forward, chin upright, just has the air of superiority, prowess, confidence, despite his rather large stomach. His, well, yes.
A visual gag?
Works for radio.
My character is a very large half-orc. He is bald. He is not wearing a shirt. He basically just has a sash going across his chest. He's got black and gray tribal tattoos all over him. He is played by The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, the only Rock we know.
Solid as a rock.
In case you didn't know.
How did we afford such a man?
He took a big pay cut.
Just charity for
him. Isn't he one of those celebrities that does play like D&D? I feel like that there's like a few celebrities out there that play. It's yeah, I know, but they're like I know like
Joe Manganiello.
Vin Diesel is also like a huge D&D nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Colbert, obviously, but yeah, I feel like he was one of those guys that does something nerdy. It might have been that, maybe not.
How old is your character?
Oh,
Tim,
my character, he's in his early 40s. He has long flowing dark hair and he has caramel colored skin, and you can tell by the little points in his ears that he's not quite human, but not quite elf.
Oh.
So he's exceedingly beautiful. But, alas, I mean, you the stomach.
So. Yes, the dad bod.
My character's also in his mid-40s.
Okay, alright. So, we go from the Wizard's Grace, and we go up north a little bit in the town of Breach Hill, to a place called Caden's Keg. It's pretty empty in the morning, especially since everyone's at the Wizard's Grace.
Yeah.
And you see two people who are just sort of sitting there in the in the dining area. Mark, what does your character look like?
So he is a half-elf, but you wouldn't know it at first because he has a bandana that hides the tip of his ears, so they look rather normal. And sleek leather armor with a small brush, like, I forgot what they're called, but it's like a cape that just kind of drizzle, like a cloak, but it starts at the waist and just kind of lays down.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but he has long blackish hair, but yes, half elf. Okay. Slightly handsome, but not at the same time. He's average.
Okay, so your boss of Caden's Keg, she's just sort of looking at it and she's like, "Well, it's a good busy tonight, but I'm afraid it's going to be like this all morning. If you want, you can go to the Call for Heroes. I'm still going to be working here, preparing for this weekend tonight's festivities."
Quite works for me. Bye. He just leaves.
I didn't expect you to answer so easily.
Oh no, he doesn't. He takes it. He's actually been considering it for a while, but working at the bar doesn't. It suits him, but. Is any a curiosity of being called for heroes? I want in on that.
Yeah. Okay. So, as it comes around noon, that's when the call for heroes meeting starts. Everyone is moving towards the towards a town hall. There's tons of people around. So there's about 40 to 50 people milling about directly in front. There's this fantastic fountain that right outside of Town Hall. It has this like beautiful architecture in the center, and you know, it has the nice fountain and everything around it. And people are just sort of milling about and talking about, you know, the adventures that they went on or adventures that they heard. Some of them probably made up or exaggerated, but people love just talking on the Call for Heroes. And there's a very strapping town guard here. John, why don't you tell me about this guy?
Well, there's a man, just a vanilla human, standing in the middle of the guard. He's about 6'3", very, very tall man, striking black hair, played by Lee Pace. Ooh. And he has the symbol of Iomide on his back. And he is garbed head to toe in a large black cloak.
Excellent, excellent. Well, as he's sort of just like watching, you know, not much really happens in Breach Hill, so your job is kind of lackluster as a town guard. But you know, every now and then you might need to handle something. And while you guys are converging onto Town Hall, Benson sees this guy who's like, no, watch. I'm gonna balance, and he's like balancing on the railing that's right next to the river, and he's like, no, get out. People are like, dude, get down, come on. No, you can't. You're really drunk, and it's only noon. Okay, get down. You're not doing that. How does Benson react?
Benson is just going to walk up and say, how old is the man trying to do this?
What does he look like? He's probably like 19, 20.
Get down there, son. You don't know what you're doing.
No. I can do it. I can do it. Watch.
I know you seem you think you can, but that's not my issue.
Come on, man. Look. Just give me like 5 seconds. Can I get 5 seconds to do it?
No, get down.
Look, you see that girl over there? See that girl right there? He puts his arm around you. Breath is just reeking of whiskey or something. He's like, you see that girl right there? Well, I'm trying to impress her.
Okay.
So I figure if we walk on this, she'll drop her pants.
No.
What? Why not? What? Come on, man.
You'll thank me later.
All right. So he just tried to climb up anyway.
I grab him.
He's like, no, come on. And then he drops like a toddler. He's like, no. He just like ragdolls.
Son, if you want to impress that girl over there, I would suggest you not start crying like a child. Stand up and walk away.
He just continues to cry like a child.
I leave him in the dirt then.
So, as Benson handles a drunk crybaby, you guys all converge onto in front of Town Hall, and people are milling about, but before the Call of Heroes is started, and you see a fight going on. What's that?
It's just.
It's just. No, you know what? There's a fight going on.
It's just a town center duel. Don't worry about
friendly
it.
Sparring.
Yeah,
friendly
sparring. I'm totally okay with that. Don't climb on that fence.
It's roped off. It's fine.
You see a very finely dressed goblin female. If you have lived here for a little while, you know her by the name of Warball Bumblebrasher. She seems to be pacing about in her. She's wearing cleric vestments to Desna. She's just sort of like, yeah, like you know, she's pacing back and forth. Just
oh goodness, hey, what on earth could be happening? I just don't know what to do here. Perhaps.
Do I see this?
Yeah. You're all in the vicinity of it.
Okay. Oh, I am as well.
Yes.
Oh, we all are.
I approach. Excuse me, Madam Warbo?
Oh, yes. So, Benson, how are you today?
Well, it's another great day, but you seem to be troubled, my lady.
Oh, Desna has been... she hasn't been giving me the answers that I require.
Oh, by the way, she's played by Maggie Smith, who was Professor McGonagall.
Nice.
And she says,
For those of you that do not know, please allow me to introduce myself. I am Wabo, Ambassador of the Bumblebrasher Goblins of Hell Knight Hill. It is my great honor to serve my fellow citizens of Breach Hill as the town's official representative to the Bumblebrashers. I communicate with the Bumblebrashers, convey the town's concerns and interest to them. an advocate to the tribe's behalf, if you will. It is a duty I take very seriously. They are my people, after all. Hence why I am here today and give my rather distracted nature earlier. I hope you will forgive it.
Oh, it is quite all right, my lady. And might I say you are looking quite ravishing today.
And at this, I'm going to roll a diplomacy, use my group impression feat. I'm going to try to impress not only the lady, but also the knight who came to her rescue, so that he too will look upon me favorably.
I asked what was wrong.
I don't know.
No, he's impressing you.
I'm group. It's group impression.
I've been so excited for Tim's character. All right.
He's flaunting.
First roll, by the way.
It is a 16.
Okay. 16. Yeah, she is confused that you called her ravishing, but she's impressed nonetheless with your flirtatious ways.
I don't think I've been called that before. Yes, and who might you be?
Yeah. My name is Adelar Vaynor, High Priest of Abadar.
Oh, you look to be an outsider. I don't think I've met you here.
She fixes her hat and her glasses.
Yes, I hail from Tiliax. I recently...
Oh, my.
Indeed, it's been quite the journey.
Are you a vampire?
No, my lady.
Oh, well, right, the daylight. Yes. Sorry, I've only heard dreadful things, horrible, horrible things of Tiliax and vampires, so you'll have to excuse me.
Well, it is not all bad. As you can see, I am standing right here.
It's seldom we see traveling men of the cloth come through here.
Yes, well, Abadar's goodness must be spread to all corners of Galarian.
Yes, I am a cleric of Desna, as you can see.
She has, like, a gigantic, like, silver... butterfly pendant around her neck.
Nice.
It's like as big as like a Flavor Flav's clock. It's like enormous. Yeah,
she's representing.
and she goes, it is strange to have someone from the cloth of Abadar. We have many people worship Hayden here because they do enjoy a good drink. Many others worship Desna. I would hope from my influence. But yeah, Abadar is certainly a new voice here of the face of the pantheons.
Yes, indeed. Well, as you may or may not know, Abadar, he delights in the hard work, and from that hard work brings the good riches, the honorable riches, I might add. And he believes that everyone who works hard in this world should find their riches. So... knowing what I know about Breach Hill and their founding, it seemed to be a hard-working people, and I said to myself, well, where better place than to preach the goodness of Abadar than to these hard-working people?
Benson rolls his eyes.
Same with Elkwood. So, but Elkwood's more like just laughing a little bit on the inside.
So she's conversing with you quite a bit, because since someone else of the cloth is something she doesn't see very often. And then she goes,
I'm so sorry about my distracted nature earlier. As I said, the Bumble Brassers are a tribe of goblins who have for years now lived peacefully in isolation in Citadel Altarine, the former Hell Knight Keep. On the hill, just outside of town, believe it or not. Typically, every 2 weeks, I meet with Helba, the tribe's chieftain. On the road, just outside the keep, we tend to meet on a regular schedule, or try to, anyway. We discuss news, and I convey the town's interest and hear concerns that the tribe might wish to bring before the council. It is a relationship of utmost importance, and Helba is normally very punctual, but she has missed our previous two meetings.
Well, that is indeed troubling.
More troubling as I have seen plumes of smoke coming from the top of the citadel.
And have the city guard not investigated this matter?
You must understand. So the plumes of smoke. The smoke is a chalky and red color, the tribe's traditional color of distress. I fear that the Bumble Brassers are in danger, or that something dire has befallen them, and it's taken me to worry, but that is why I am here. I am certain something foul has befallen the Bumble Brassers. The leader Helbo would not miss our meeting twice in a row for no reason. Nor would the tribe signal its distress if something were not amiss. I plan to present this information to the council and ask them to hire adventurers to contact my tribe.
Well, adventurers, eh? Might I ask is, I don't mean to be, too forward, but does this kind of work involve any, compensation?
Oh, yes, yeah, no, they must certainly pay you, yes.
These bumblebrushes live in the Citadel.
Yes. So oh my goodness,
they must
orc.
Be well off.
Run! Run!
Benson has just taken notice of this enormous being. And now I'm just...
Goblins living in the Citadel. They must be well off.
Oh, well, we sort of moved in. it was abandoned. If anything, we put it to good use.
It's good to hear.
Well, I think that my companion Kezra and I would be quite interested in aiding these goblins, and I'm sure the city guard have a stake in it as well. Isn't that right?
Would you say one more time, my lady? You said this, this was outside the town limits?
Oh, yes, yes. You see, I meant to clarify for Sir Benson here. For anything outside of the town limits, the call for heroes is made to employ adventurers such as yourselves that fall outside of the town. Sometimes farmers need things investigated whenever crops are stolen or cows are murdered. So that's usually what we hire adventurers for. And this goes all the way back to our town's founding, as Lord Layman Breachton was an adventurer himself. So it goes quite a ways back as a tradition for us.
Ah, I see. Yes, indeed. It looks like Sir Benson here is quite busy, so I'm sure that Kezra and I can take care of this. Unless, of course, you would like to come along.
Adelar, she's clearly sane, and Sir Branson, that they,
close enough.
They, typically hire real men for jobs like these.
Ouch. See, at this point, Elquin would just kind of look at her and just kind of mumble something and, like, Goblin says, oh, and if you were not to pay it forward at one point. Like, it's just more of a phrase that he learned, picked up from his own...
Okay,
so tutelage, but he just says something in Goblin to her.
Oh, you speak Goblin, do you?
Oh, yes, I do, my lady.
that's interesting. Well, yeah, you are all adventurers, are you not, Sir Benson? You've had your days crusading across Avastad, yes?
Yes, I have. This has been an interesting couple of months I've been able to settle down.
Well, you are just the heroes I hope the council might hire on my behalf. But please, there is a system in place for a reason. Come with me into the meeting and listen to my petition. If you are up for my task, I beg you to offer your services to the council. You may be my tribe's only hope, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh dear, she has outside knowledge.
I was like,
fourth wall!
She's so beautiful.
I'm changing my character's name.
I want to say that because it just says you are my tribe's only hope, and I was like, I can't not say Obi-Wan Kenobi with
all so, right, well, Adelar, I'm sure, follows.
Okay, so everyone shuffles into the town hall, as you see here on the map. There's about 40 people or so, just sort of sitting wherever they want. Much like church, everyone has their own seats that are reserved but not actually theirs. So everyone goes in and sits down, and people are just sort of like anxiously waiting to hear what heroes are going to show up and what thing needs saving. So once you get inside, there's a carpeted walkway separating several rows of benches with the two sections. There's a large dais on the north side with a large desk separated into five parts where the town council are seated. So once everyone sits down and gets situated, they start the town council starts filing in. So first walking up is a male dwarf who's played by Ray Stevenson. He is known as Jorsk Hinterclaw. After that is a female human played by Keira Knightley.
Oh.
Who goes by the name of Melma Ann Sandari. In the middle is a very young woman, female human woman played by Emilia Clarke.
Oh.
She is known by Greta Gardenia. Yeah. Next to her on the other side is a female gnome played by Anne Hathaway, who everyone knows as Trini Spritzelgig.
Got some big names here.
Alright, look, they're here for like one episode, right?
For their hour of time, maybe.
Alright, and then the last one on the very far side is a human male played by Mel Gibson.
Shit. Really giving jobs to anybody now.
Oh god.
He is known as Quintino Passandi.
Oh.
They sit down, everyone quiets down, much like a courtroom in a way, but a much happier situation than a courtroom. With a sharp rap of her gavel onto the desk, a stern, dark-haired woman with deeply furrowed forehead and kind eyes brings the assembled crowd to a hush. "Welcome, neighbors and friends," the dark-haired woman begins, her rich voice washing over the room. "To breach Old Town Council's monthly call for heroes, I am Council President Greta Gardenia at your service. On behalf of my colleagues beside me, I promise you all that we will hear and consider today's petition with the utmost discretion and care. There is no existence without community, and as our town charter says, today our agenda includes one petition. Miss Wobble, our very own ambassador to the Bumble Brashes of Hell Knight Hill, requests the help of heroes for a matter of utmost importance. Let's hear her concerns in her own words, shall we, Miss Wobble?" So she jumps down from the pew. Because she's small.
It's and like then... a high C. It's like styrofoam cushions underneath
her
or something.
So she emerges from her bench. The well-dressed goblin woman makes her way to the front of the dais of steps. She clears her throat and begins her address to the council.
"Esteemed councilors," Warpole says with a frazzled tone in her voice, "it has been more than a month since I have been able to contact the Wumblebrushes. I fear that something terrible has befallen them. What's more, I have seen my people's distress signal come from the top of Citadel Old Serene."
Before the goblin can continue her petition, the door on the western side of the room flies open as a young man with eyes wide with panic runs in, shouting, waving his ink-stained hands. Billowing black smoke and flames follow him into the room.
"Fire! There's a fire! Everyone flee!"
Shit.
What?
Can I run to the door to see what he is screaming about?
Yes.
There's a fire.
So, sure enough, as you stand up, you see behind him, and behind the door that he just came from, sure enough, there is a fire just starting to catch. And it's starting to flood into the room.
Oh.
Can all of you roll me initiative?
Oh, dear. Oh.
All right. What is everyone's initiative? Let's go with you. Kezra, starting up.
10.
Gentlemen's 10. I like it. I like where you're going. I like it so far.
Good average roll to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Adelar?
I got a 14.
14? Slightly better. Benson, how you doing over there?
I got a real man's 19.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Look at that. Hanging low with the 19 and Elk.
10.
And which one of you out of Kezra and Elk would like to go first?
What's your modifier?
3.
Ah, plus 5.
Yeah, you're a ranger.
Oh, yeah. I will go beforehand then.
Alrighty then. So let me go ahead and sort this.
I rolled shit.
Well, the fire rolled really, really well.
Ah! Horrible quickfire.
As fire does. As fire rolls.
Yeah, the fire got a 21.
So I really hate when fire takes the initiative.
It takes it really well, though. So the fire is going to start spreading itself.
Oh, shit. Creep.
Right on to Brenson, I'm sure.
He's going to fight that fire with his sword.
I think I'm just going to have Kezra call you Branson the whole time.
Do it.
Just because I'm a dick.
Brenton. Oh, shit.
Wait, I thought I ran to where the fire was.
You didn't run
no,
where
No, we
the
posted
fire.
Ourselves where we would be set up.
Yeah, but then I said I ran to where the guy was coming out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you have to run through the pews.
I mean, it's wherever Jake says. That's fair.
Well, on your turn.
Okay.
You can do fine. That.
Yeah, sure. It's like, we are where we would be during a meeting, not where we would be during the fire coming in the door.
Yeah, no, but before we rolled initiative, I said I ran to the guy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But
okay.
If no, it's fine. It's fine.
No, maybe, no, you're here. You're in the fire now.
Maybe we can get a surprise run or something.
Yeah, no, it's what it is.
The fire gets a surprise run.
Also, you see what seems to be a small red winged creature burst out of the fire, cackling.
Fire! I like him.
Gosh,
he has passion.
He really likes his job. What can you say?
I mean,
is there a recall knowledge we could use to figure out what this thing is? I assume nature.
Is that on your turn? Recall knowledge is an action.
The recall knowledge is an action. It is an action. When it comes to your turn, you can do that.
I won't. I'm certain I don't have it.
Okay. Oh, and let me actually get the bestiary for it as well. Because when you do recall it, I want to give you everything.
When you recall it.
Oh, I will.
Mm.
But it is now Benson's turn.
Okay. So this thing has just burst in through the flames. It's just screaming fire.
Yep, screaming fire.
So I'm going to rip my bastard sword out of my sheath, and I'm just going to run at the thing.
Okay. So go ahead. So you spend one move. So it's one action to draw your weapon. And then how close are you to it?
That's definitely more than my movement.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't you do, what is it, two strides?
55 feet away.
55? I think I only have 20 feet of movement.
Yeah, but
yeah, 20 with your armor.
Yeah, 20 feet
of probably, movement. So.
Can you move me 20 closer to him? Thank you.
So you could then stride twice to get another 20.
I'll do that.
All right. Then it comes to Adalar's turn.
Adalar is going to recall knowledge on this creature.
All right.
Do you tell me what I get to roll, or do I have to tell you?
He would tell you what it is.
All right, cool.
You would argue if you didn't have it or you had something better as to why.
I'm pretty sure I do.
I doubt it is anything.
Is planes still a skill? Or is it Arcana now?
Planes would, I think, be occultism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have occultism.
Right, occultism. Then do occultism.
Okay, occultism. 14.
14. So, that gets you a little bit of information on this thing.
Can I request?
Well, I'll give you the name.
Okay.
It is a fire method.
Okay. Do I have an alignment?
Method Man.
It is neutral.
Wow.
Yeah, you know them to be crazy, but not necessarily evil.
Huh.
Huh.
And then, yeah, go ahead and ask for either, like, defenses, special abilities, or things of that nature.
You only get one, so don't fuck it up.
Weaknesses?
You know that because this is a fire method, they are weak to cold damage.
Hmm. All right.
I got plenty of that.
So,
Town guard.
So fire nephit?
The fire mephit.
Mephit.
Yes.
Okay.
M-E-P-H-I-T.
Okay. Is talking free still?
Yes, it is still, but yeah. It's like contained within like 6 seconds of time.
Yeah,
so it's gotcha. Like, you can speak in like sentences.
Yeah.
Okay. So I say, it's a fire nephit. If you have any cold, hurl it at it. And I cast Divine Lance.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I'm setting the what do you call it? The alignment to law, because my other alignment is neutral.
Okay. Now, so. because it is neutral, will it take damage? Because
I'm pretty sure. It says, choose an alignment your deity has. You can't cast a spell if you don't have a deity. Or if your deity is true neutral. It says, on a ranged spell attack, roll against the target's AC.
Mm-hmm.
On a hit, the target takes damage of the chosen alignment type equal to 1d4 plus your spellcasting ability modifier.
Okay. So,
I just think if it was chaotic, I would assume it would do more damage, but it just does regular damage.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I was just curious, maybe because it's neutral, if it took anything, but... But yeah, that's fine. So go ahead and make an attack roll.
Yeah, it's considered an attack.
I don't think evocation. Being neutral makes you immune to alignment damage. I think it's just I think I actually need to get hit by all of them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so yeah, so go ahead and make your attack roll.
Like you're not safe from either.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. 9.
A 9 goes wide. It shoots past one of the council members' heads.
Right over Benson's head.
Fuck!
It just hits the council members.
So as a pile of gold coins shoots out from Adelar's hand. All right. So that was Adelar's turn. It comes to Elk.
Elkwood. He is going to. Well, he's in a corner. Wow. Okay. So, first action is he's going to draw his bow. He's going to move up 25 feet. And his third, since all he heard is that it's a fire method? Method?
Method.
Method. Method.
Yeah. M-E-P-H-I-T.
Method. Got it.
Yep.
He's going to... Actually, hunt target is an action, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Balls. He's going to hunt target.
Okay.
For this.
All right. So you zone in on your target, the fire method, and you ready to aim some sweet arrows into it.
Yes.
And last comes to Kezra.
Kezra sees your bolt go wide, and he goes, "I told you, your belly had made you go soft." And he will stride up to him. Let's see if I can make it in one.
This guy kind of sounds like a dick.
Damn.
Almost made it.
I mean, you have a total of 3 actions.
Wasn't a 5-foot
step? I realize that.
What's a 5-foot step called? It's a...
It's called... I think it's just called a step. Yeah, it's just a step. Yeah.
It's not... Is it?
So you took a stride, then you can take a step, right?
Is the step free?
The issue is
the step is an action. It just doesn't trigger reactions.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's still an action. It's the 5-foot step. The free 5-foot step is gone.
Okay.
Yep.
So I stride in position right next to Brenson, about 10 feet away from it, and I cast shield, and my body gets covered in scales, and then I also cast my dragon claws, my blood magic. And I grow dragon claws from my fingers.
Cool.
Excellent.
My 2 actions.
It's cool.
All right, so that was Kezra's turn. He does some weird magic stuff you guys have never seen before. And it comes back to the fire and the fire method's turn. The fire continues to grow.
Somebody needs to take care of that fire.
Use the coins for fire growth.
Well, I have a magic marker here. I'll come over and color it in.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Pause for edit.
Not pause for edit. It's time for the magic marker song.
Real time.
Magic marker, marking up the map. You can't see it. This is audio.
It's just tragic that Jake is going to edit this out.
Marking.
Is he even recording this? I'm pretty sure he paused this already.
Magic marker.
I'm pretty
sure. Benson and Kezra, can you guys give me a reflex save?
Oh, shit.
Hi.
That's the fire.
All right, what are your totals?
21.
14. I'm fucked.
You're dead. You're dead, Jim.
What was it? What was it, Benson?
14.
All right, so Kezra saves, but Sir Benson does not.
Fair enough.
He does a breath weapon.
Okay.
Oh,
boy.
Shit,
a little fucking fly as a breath weapon.
It's a method, John.
2E can go to hell.
I told you.
Wait, can you see the picture of it?
Yeah, there's a picture. Oh, it has a water method here in the bestiary.
That's fine.
So just imagine that being red.
Watch how he's on take back. Cool.
Yep. So. The fire method breathes a 15-foot cone that deals fire and persistent fire damage to each creature within the area, unless you make a basic reflex save. The fire method can't use the breath weapon again for a number of rounds. Let me roll
D4.
The damage first.
Is this a half damage if you make your save kind of deal, or are you just save?
Yeah. All right, so Kezer, you take 3, or, well, in half, so 1.
half.
And Sir Benson?
You rolled the damage twice?
It's going to two different people. It was the same number anyway, so 3. And you're going to take 1d4 persistent fire damage because you failed.
Okay, because you're on fire.
You take 4 persistent fire damage.
So what does that mean? Over a certain amount of time?
It'll be on
his
your turn.
Probably.
Okay. So next turn.
Yeah. So at the end of your turn, you will take 4 fire damage.
Okay.
Yep.
You're dead.
Sucks.
Yeah, well.
And then I get to see how many rounds until he can use the next one. Ooh, all right.
See, he moved the tower over there so I can't see it.
I know, because you like to look at my dice rolls, Mark.
Well, you always put them right there, so...
But the main issue is that there's a bunch of fire on the ground around you guys now.
It's only over there in the corner.
What?
Oh, so it's like every...
It caught the ground on fire?
So I don't need to tell you that standing in fire is bad.
Whoosh. Whoosh.
Yikes.
It's really bad, yeah. So, Sir Benson, what do you do?
Sword in hand. I'm going to scream to all the onlookers. Put out the damn fire!
And I'm going to run through.
There's just full panic. They're not really listening to you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try.
Okay.
Just moving through the fire hurt me.
Moving through the fire. So let's go over how fire works.
Just say yes.
All right, so... Let's see.
Do you really want to hurt me, fire? No, you don't.
Exactly. I'm very charismatic.
Use your
shield. Come on, fire.
Gotta do Dark Souls 2 glitch when you put that like power shield and pump it back through lava. Somehow you block the damage.
Yeah. Any creature that ends its turn next to the flames takes 1d6 fire damage. Any creature within the flames takes 4d6 fire damage. Both of these require a reflex save.
So if I'm just moving through it, I'll be able to move through it.
Yes. Any creature that ends its turn. So you just want to get out of the fire within your turn.
Okay. Yeah. I can do that easily.
Can't be next to it either, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you're next to it, you take 1d6.
I just moved up and through.
You're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so you move up. You are now out of the fire. What would you like to do?
I'd like to take some swings at this little prick.
All right. Go ahead and make an attack roll.
Natural 20.
Oh. Yeah!
Wow, first attack of the whole campaign?
I haven't touched it since I rolled. Look at that shit.
Starts
all right.
That's a 26.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it was a natural 20. You crit. So go ahead and roll Critical and Pathfinder 2nd Edition...
Just double damage.
10 above, right?
Yeah, so you just roll and then double everything.
16 damage.
16 damage.
Man.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
There we go. So Sir Benson, already done with this fire bullshit.
Yes, I am. Can I look back as soon as I kill it and just scream, put out the fucking fire?
So you start... barking orders at people, which is actually a mechanic in this situation.
Oh.
So, in order to get people to start agreeing with your orders, obviously they're all freaking out. So, you could... rescuing the spectators. The PCs can each help 2 spectators at a time. How do you want them to put out the fire? What would you like them to do?
Tell them to jump on the fire. Roll over it.
Can they move? Okay, so we can see where the fire is. Is there anything else flammable around, or is it just the wood of the structure itself?
I mean, there's a carpet there that you guys were standing on earlier. There's wood benches. This entire place could easily go up pretty fast.
All right, I'm going to try to order them to move anything like the rug, grab the rug pole, any benches, anything that this thing can consume and get bigger. I just want to try to get them to pull everything out. Because I'm assuming there's not just jugs of water sitting around.
Okay. All right. So these people are starting to freak out, but you tell them to start moving things. So everyone that was on the inside of the aisles, they start moving the pews sort of like away. But they're just common people, so they're only moving it like a few feet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look that effective. It might save a round or two, but okay. Yep.
As long as I can try to help.
Yep. Yep.
How many clerics are in the building, and how many can create water?
You know of two clerics.
Sadly, a first level spell now.
Yeah.
Oh yikes.
We both just looked at our spell list and we're like, whoop.
It's too overpowered.
Don't got that one.
It's too overpowered.
Water was too powerful.
By the way, that's Benson 1.
Whatever, Benson. It's a long adventure. Branson.
All right. Adela. It's your turn.
The fire that was recently created, are those smaller flames?
They will grow at the same rate.
Okay.
So, but fire methods are very good at creating fire.
As it turns out,
is there anything I see around me that I can use to smother the fire?
If you want to take off your cloak, you could try to do that.
There's a big rug in the middle.
Because logic tells me that you should be able to smother the fire, and that'll do it. But if the fire is too hot,
it's pretty big and it's growing. Yeah.
All is lost. Just the
I'm going to command the audience to start a what do they call that? Like a
fire line.
Fire line.
Or a bucket brigade?
Yes.
I like that name.
Yes.
Bucket brigade.
Bucket brigade.
And so you said that normally you can influence two people, you said, with this? Or is it just the group?
With this, if you just call out to the people that are here, that they will listen to you. They're all frantic and freaking out anyway. So you could try to just like tell them what to do, and they'll begin to listen.
Okay.
So you want to tell them to start doing that?
Yeah, I'd be like,
all you people, start getting water. We need to put out this fire immediately.
Okay, so the town councilors completely agree with you, and they start ordering people as well.
I disagree.
Let it burn.
I believe fire is natural and should burn.
So they begin helping you with that. The town councilors start helping people out and start moving people into position in order to start working to make the bucket brigade a thing. That was Adelar's turn. Is there anything else you wanted to do during this?
Did anyone? Let's see. So that was one action. So Benson got hurt pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, he's
dead.
He took
I got tagged,
quite a bit of damage.
If you want to save a bit,
he's almost dead.
I got
Look
it.
At him.
So I might as
he's
well.
Bleeding.
Might as well use it. All right. So I'm going to spend the last two of my actions to cast a ranged healing spell.
Ooh.
Ooh, very nice. The
oh,
cool
what,
new.
Are you the healer?
it's the cool new second edition heal.
No, you got to pay him money first before he pays you or heals you.
They'll discuss the bill afterwards.
He goes, I'll bill you.
I'm hurt.
I just got an invoice in the mail.
The invoice just appears in your back pocket with the healing.
All right, so you get back 13
Jesus,
points
did they charge me for
13
looking?
Points?
13.
Jesus.
It says right here.
Oh, is that the second level
If you're
heal?
Healing a living creature,
two
which I
heal.
Assume you are, increase the hit points restored by 8. So it's 1d8 plus 8. We're starting level 5, so it's 13.
So actually,
I'm back to full health. I'm good.
Yeah, you are.
He's actually
God,
a
damn.
Zombie.
And I just call out,
you're welcome.
I look at the dead creature, look back at him, and say, you're welcome.
All right. That excellent heal at the end of Adelaide's turn, it comes to Elk.
Well, the creature is dead, and there's fire, and I can't shoot fire. He's going to...
Oh, you
don't know
fire.
Until you can try.
Hey, you can
I mean,
fire.
That's true. It'd be like in Zelda, like, when you shoot through torches.
Oh, yeah.
Fire.
Yeah, you're like, how do I do this without fire arrows?
Oh, there you go. The catch.
You end up just spreading the fire. Like, oh, God.
I tried. I'm going to have him move closer to where the fire was entering.
Okay.
But not be, like, right close next to it, but, like, try to peer out the... entrance where the creature popped out of.
Okay, all right. So it's just full of fire. It's a huge engulfing flame. Yeah,
because he can't do shit. He doesn't have like water spells.
You could help it with the bucket brigade. That's when everyone else is starting to do.
I'm on the other side. It's fine. I gave up halfway through.
Got it. Okay.
But yeah, he's gonna move maybe a little bit closer though, just to see if he can like. There's nothing he could see then, like where that creature popped in. Like there's no like.
Nope.
More okay.
No, and in fact, the method was supposed to be a bit more of a problem, but I don't think they expected the
crit.
Yeah, nobody expected
right.
crit.
First attack roll.
Right, then he is going to actually then double stride. Was it?
You could triple stride.
He's gonna move to the center where people are bucket brigading. I guess
okay,
he's gonna be a good person of society and help.
I'm sure that's weird for Elk.
He's like, I will help people. This is what people do. Yeah.
All right. So Elk moves to aid with the bucket brigade.
Moves to aid with the bucket brigade.
And it comes to Kezra.
Straight.
Kezra's gonna get creative here, and I don't care if it succeeds. But he's gonna go and he's gonna dig his claws into the rug that he's standing right next to, and he's just going to like whip the whole thing on top of this fire and just like start like smothering the fire.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm certain I have the strength for it.
I would assume so. Yeah,
I'm a big dude. I know it's a big rug, but
I was gonna say rugs can't get heavy, but you're a big guy.
I have a strength of 16.
Yeah, no rugs too heavy for the rock.
So yeah, I'm gonna try like basically reposition this rug on the map, which is a 50 foot rug, just kind of like ball it up on the fire right around my feet, and like just smother that fire.
Okay. All right. Okay. So.
I'll roll whatever you want.
Little do you know, the rug was made out of cotton.
No, the rug was a mimic.
Oh, God! Ah, that's odd.
It was like, finally, everyone's right on top of me.
I've been waiting
finally,
for this
the
for
fire
years.
I've been waiting for.
All right, so you take the rug and you start trying to stamp it out. You stamp out one square.
Okay.
Stamp out one square.
Okay, so I guess I just don't take the damage I would have taken for standing here. Cool.
Alrighty.
Down with it.
Alright, so, that was your turn, so it is now the fire's turn. Alright, so it is now the second round, so they are starting to line up, and they begin pumping water from the fountain circle, just outside of Town Hall. But it does continue to spread, so it'll take next round for the fire to actually, or for the bucket of water to start getting to you.
Time to start rolling some wisdom checks, boys. This town hall's going down.
Well, we tried. There was an attempt. It just didn't work. Why don't you smack the fire with your sword?
Oh, no.
This isn't looking good for those who can't see.
I'm very much the wrong class for this.
Out of the north door, fire explodes as well.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Dude, there's shit going on.
The stupid thing was not that big. Don't like it.
Wow, fire is dangerous. Who would have thunk it?
Oh, my goodness.
What about the council member? Are there other clerics in the building? Are there... People that can conjure water. Hydrophobic.
I use hydro pump.
Hydroponic. Hydroponic.
Blasters, use hydro pump.
And just break the walls anyway.
I mean, this place is going under.
Town Hall is saved.
And also destroyed.
Here, I'll give you my badge, even though you didn't fight me.
Right.
Alright, so. That was the fire's turn. It now comes to Benson.
Okay. So the Bucket Brigade looks like they're getting ready.
Yeah. So they are lining up, but there are still some people that are sort of freaking out and not too sure what to do.
Okay. Are all of these people like? They're all able adults. I don't see any.
Yeah. They're all adults in here. Yeah.
No invalids.
Okay. Can I make a roll to get them in the line?
The line is done. So everyone else who's just sort of standing around is just freaking out.
Okay, then I would like to yell at them, if you're not going to help, get out of the building. Where?
I just want them to get out.
I can't see the smoke's everywhere.
Is that a door right there?
Yeah, so you
I'm going to point down the line of pews and say, get out of that door.
The smoke's in their eyes, and so they're sort of like just, their hands are out in front of them, like, I can't, where
are they're crazy, kill them!
So I can't even make a roll to...
You can help them out if you want.
Intimidate them.
I don't really want to do that.
Scare them to get out of the building.
Okay, I did what I could. I'm going to get over this table, and I want to try to put out the fire on the north door with my cloak.
With your cloak?
Yeah.
All right, so you go over to it, and you're able to stamp out one square. You take your very fine black cloak and stamp it out. But there is still one square next to you, is there not?
No, not if I'm standing right here.
Oh, okay. There's two
squares, and I'm on the...
Gotcha. You had safe positioning. I like it, Jonathan.
I'm thinking, man. Strategic.
Good job. All right, so Benson yells at people to get out and sort of just stumbling around. Adelar, it is your turn.
All right, well, I see the poor saps who don't really know what to do with themselves. So I think I'm going to cast Guidance on them guide them.
I like it, Kofel. I like it. I need to get some, like, grease or something.
That is really squeaky.
It's because you play with it too much.
I move it, man.
I know. You fondle your mic more than anybody here.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Ah, sweet. Okay. It does have a range. Very good. I'll just check to make sure.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. So, because it's a cantrip, I can cast as many times as I want. And guess what? It's one action. So I give three people guidance.
Oh, cool.
And I say, take the guidance of Abadar and find your way out of this place.
Throw money on the fire.
So as you start pew pewing guidance at people, the smoke is starting to pile up, and as Benson was experiencing, they're a little blinded by it. So they start walking towards you. They're like, wait, what did you say? I can't hear anything. And they bump into you, and they start like slapping you because they can't see anything.
They should start beating the shit out of you.
What? Lost cause, dog.
What?
Lost cause.
Wait.
They start punching.
Where do we go? Where do we go?
Oh my gosh! So I like shove them in the direction where I know they should go.
Shove them into the fire.
And I'm hoping that maybe they'll use the guidance and make some sort of roll to get out of here.
You're trusting simpletons?
It is really funny how dumb they make these civilians out to be.
Yeah, they really do.
It's really funny.
Bumping into the guy.
The only competent people are you four and the five councilmen.
Let's see them do something.
Oh, they're helping out with the Bucket Brigade, right, and good. They're
okay. So they're doing shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're definitely doing stuff. They were instructing people to get in line and stand here and stand there. Yeah. So, it was just that you guys had a great idea for the Bucket Brigades, and that's what they did. Elk.
Ah, he's helping out with the Bucket Brigade right now.
All right, so you're helping out with the Bucket Brigade.
Oh, no, is there an knowledge check on the fire? I don't know.
Nope.
All right.
It's fucking fire.
It's a fire, fam. All right.
What does fire do? It burns things. Ah, jeez. Glad I rolled knowledge on that.
Well, helping that out.
Kezra.
I mean, there's nothing else you can do.
Kezra calls out to Adelar.
Adelar, forget these people. Get out of this building now.
And he triple strides out the door.
Oh. So, as Kezra says, fuck it, and just plows a few civilians over it as he makes his way through the crowd of people.
He does stop right outside the door to make sure, and turns around to make sure Adelar is going to follow him.
Okay.
Benson will remember that.
He's like in the doorway, but just outside.
It's like the George Costanza method of trying to get out of the burning apartment.
Oh, get out!
Someone had to lead all these people.
Do you know? Do you know when you play a Telltale game, you do something, and it's like this person will remember that.
Oh, yeah.
We're not here to save people.
So as Kezra
We're
is
saving them by leaving. Them.
As Kezra pushed his way out, he gets just outside the door. There is a civilian that has just latched himself onto your leg like a toddler.
Good for them. They know what they're doing.
And it's just like, oh. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Away, foul beast.
For the aid of everyone in the building, I run out screaming, like yelling like so everybody can follow the sound of my voice.
Okay.
All right. It is the
this train got
fire's
no brakes.
Turn. Is the fire's turn?
Is the fire brigade actually doing shit?
Right?
Yes.
This turn they will.
Well, it's raining in real life. That would really help this fire.
if only we had rain inside. Alright, so the fire continues to spread only a little bit further, and as you all saw, it is getting kind of bad. Benson.
Okay. Do I get the sense that me putting one square out at a time is not going to do shit?
You feel like it is very futile.
Then I'm going to run back and help with the bucket brigade.
Okay. Run back, help with the bucket brigade, get in line, and goes to Adalar.
He says to himself as the poor, pathetic civilians cling to him.
Yeah. All right, this way, this way.
The bucket has come up the line now as Benson walked back. So if you want to go ahead and use the bucket, you can.
Cool.
Are you selfish like Kelly's character?
I'm used to it. I'm lawful, so I'm like, this is like the lawful thing to do, I think. So I'll help.
All right.
There's nothing in the law that says that a civilian should risk their lives to put out a public building.
That's absolutely right.
Where's the fire department?
It's the good thing to do.
Maybe not the smart.
I don't think there's any lawful guidelines here.
There isn't, but I'm also at the angle of if I help put out this fire, maybe I'll get some sort of money. I mean,
you can't spend if you're dead.
That's how
I don't plan on
it,
dying.
Honestly.
Alright, so I use the bucket.
Alright, so you use the bucket.
Can I make a wisdom check to see if the bucket brigade is fast enough to put out the fire?
Yeah, you can tell that they you don't need to make a check. You can tell that they're getting buckets down here pretty fast.
Okay.
So, so if you use a bucket will...
Four or five.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how much a bucket did.
Two squares?
I'm actually pretty sure
two squares.
Four.
It's futile.
It's four.
Yeah,
these are some big ass buckets.
Woo. Yeah,
they're like 50-pound buckets, probably.
Yeah, so you can splash it in a direction or in an area, however you want to
make a range.
However you want to do that.
So one right in front of me, two to the left, kind of like in an L shape.
Let me go and read this. Water typically clears a 5-foot square if the amount is small. Larger amounts of water, such as a full bucket, typically douse a 10-foot by 10-foot area or four squares in some other shape.
Mm. Okay.
Excellent.
Throwing a bucket of water on flames requires an interact action. So it was an interact to grab it, interact to throw, and another interact action to grab another bucket. So you have another bucket in your hands if you take it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
So those are your three actions. So he did not follow Kezra out, though.
Ooh.
Bastard.
we'll find out Kizer feels about that.
Trouble.
He never listens.
Trouble in paradise.
So, after Adalar douses a good amount of the fire, comes to Elk.
He's going to do the same thing he's been doing. He's
okay.
Just helping out with the line.
All right, so...
Because, like, is there any other... Like, he can individually just take a bucket and run?
Yeah. And if you want.
But, like, he doesn't want to interrupt the line. Yes.
I mean, the more buckets you do to put out fire,
just
do it, Doug.
Yeah, because he wants to throw.
We have to get this over there.
Yep,
and the front. Actually, you might want to go up here to the front first, since it's so small already.
Okay, but so you want to take a bucket and run somewhere and try to douse some flames?
Yeah. See, I think you have to double stride and then toss the bucket on there.
Okay, so that would be your whole turn, but you would be able to get
four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, he'll do that. Then.
Okay. So you grab a bucket.
Yeah, move that, please.
You have a bucket in your hands. You take two strides, and then you douse them.
Yes.
So you douse a total of ten of
four.
Yep, total of four squares.
It's like, ha ha!
Fire has been doused.
Excellent.
And I think you did that right on the map too, so we can't rub that.
No, that's fine.
It's permanent fire.
It's charred. After Elk's turn, it comes to Kezra. Kezra, your friend did not follow you.
Ooh.
Yes, I see.
He didn't have confidence.
So
he's truly the villain.
Noticing that his idiot friend is still in there trying to put out a fire. So I'm like standing next to the bucket brigade.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just, like, rip two buckets out of people's hands and just run back in?
Sure.
All right. So I grab two buckets.
Two buckets with people still attached.
I don't care if they come. I don't care if they come.
You know, three people attached.
The one guy's still on his legs.
Yeah. All right, so you run back in, two buckets in your manly arms.
Yeah, and I throw one bucket on this four square. So I knock out that four.
Okay.
And good. That's the end of my actionable time thing, so I hold the other bucket out to Branson.
Okay. So, you hold the bucket out. It is after Kezra.
Why didn't you listen to me?
Spends a free action to berate his best friend. comes back to the fire.
Oh, God.
Through the fire and the flames, we carry on.
We carry on.
So far away.
This is intense.
I know.
So, yeah. Funny story about Through the Fire and Flames. My sister started playing the ukulele.
Oh.
And she'll do like live streams on Instagram, like, hey, what song should I play? And every time I go Through the Fire and Flames, and she's like, I've never heard that song. And I'm like, you should. It's a great song, and you should play it on the ukulele.
Hell yeah.
Try their other songs, like, what, Operation Ground and Pound and
Warrior Inside.
Yeah.
Nope. I know the one because of Guitar Hero mostly.
Oh, come on. It's like all Dragon Force's songs are just so stupidly nerdy.
Yeah. All right. It was the Fire's turn. Benson.
So he just handed me a bucket.
Yes. Kezra has a bucket.
I ripped the bucket out of his hands and I doused the nearest flames. Yeah. Those four circles. Right here.
All right.
And I can't really do anything else, can I?
Well, there was one. That was two interact actions. It was an interact to grab and interact to throw.
Is there another bucket coming up?
Yeah, there is.
I'm going to grab it.
All right, so you interact to grab another bucket, so you're now ready for your next turn. Adelar.
I guess I'm going to grab a bucket and put out some more fire.
Okay.
So I grab bucket.
Sounds like you're so like, inconvenienced.
You should come.
This isn't making him any money.
Not yet, Kezra. Not yet.
We play the long
so
game.
That's all the fire that was at the stairs. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you guys put out the fire in the front of the dais where all the counselors were, and so now you only have to deal with the fire on the two doors, the one towards the west and the one coming from the north. Benson tried to put out the one in the north and realized that's not a good idea.
Yeah, now with just my club.
I did something, guys.
All right, so you guys, after... Okay, so wait, that was Adler's turn, right?
Yes.
Okay, Elk.
He's going to run back to the line and get in our bucket.
All right, so he spends...
Probably two strides.
Two, yeah. Two strides to get back to us.
Two strides, grab bucket, end of turn.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's trying to take care of that little corner over there.
Okay. Kezra.
Can I grab one or two buckets?
Well, you have one. Oh no, you handed it to him. So yeah, you can grab one.
Okay. I'll grab one.
Oh boy, this is a long way.
Well, actually, I can get to the back door pretty easily.
Yeah. Good. Go for these.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab a bucket. Hop over this table. And I'll throw it on the back four squares.
Okay.
There you go.
So grabs the bucket, runs back.
So I cut the remaining fire off from its source.
Ah, very nice, very nice.
Got it.
So but you might still, you might take smaller. Damage from that.
Fuck that damage! I don't care.
Like a real man.
Like I said.
All right. So you're standing next to fire by the end of your turn.
Yeah, I don't care.
You die.
Three fire damage.
I'll be fine.
As it glistens your beautiful body.
It is a beautiful orc body.
Are you are you more like grayish or greenish at orc?
Grayish.
Okay. So that was Kezra's turn. He cuts off the fire from its source, and it goes back to the fire. So the fire does only grows a little bit this time.
Thank God.
Because you guys have put out quite a bit of it. So let's go ahead and mark that in my head here. And,
I also gotta think when we soak an area, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. All right, so it actually comes to Benson's turn now.
All right, I got a bucket in my hand.
Yep.
Take another bucket with you.
Well, if I use two movements, I'm not sure I can even make it to there.
I think you can make it with two movements.
Yeah, his movement's shorter. 20. He's only 20. Right. Yeah, 40's not going to get him there.
So,
well, if you get two buckets, go to that one.
Put I only need one bucket.
Well, if you, I'm saying get another bucket from the bucket brigade line. And then you take both buckets, put out one, and then Kezra can take the other bucket and
take
it over there.
I'll do that. Take two buckets, jump over the table, douse the last of the fire in the north door, and be ready to hand the other bucket off to Kezra.
Okay. Hold that out. All right. And Adalar, it's your turn.
So I'm going to take a bucket, and I think I'm just going to move towards the northwestern door.
Okay.
So
that was the first fire that came out.
I'm still a little bit away, but
Can you throw a bucket?
Yeah, can I? Oh, no, that was all three actions.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wait, no, I started out my turn with a bucket.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All right. So you could throw it. Now, will a 10-foot line help you, or will it...
because it would... Well, if I threw the bucket on... My destination to throw the bucket on the square, and then the bucket bursts...
Oh, so you want to do a 10-foot square?
Like launching a water balloon bomb.
Okay, so yeah, you just want to do like a 10-foot square.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. You can do that.
All right, it's like a, what, AC 5, I think?
Yeah. I'll kind of do it as a bomb type of attack.
Woo! Okay, 14.
All right. So you throw a bucket 10 feet in the air, and it comes crashing down.
So these the four by the northwestern door here.
Okay. Oh, nice. That's everything.
That's all of it. You guys have successfully put out the fire.
Yeah!
So,
it wasn't worth it.
You're firefighters.
Woo! Everyone rushes out, getting smoke out of their way and coughing up along it in the center of town.
And we're all level two.
God, no. You wish. Also, we're doing milestones, so don't ask.
Oh,
So, when you guys get to the front, everyone's sort of standing around and checking on each other and just, are you okay? And, you know, people are like, yeah, I'm fine. I just need to breathe. You know,
can Benson find anybody that's injured? Like, are there any burn victims?
No, a lot of people were just inhaling smoke, so sort of just coughing up. So if anything, they just kind of need to sit down for a second and just kind of get it out of their system.
Except for the halflings and the goblins, which, you know, smoke rises. they're just running underneath.
Yeah, they're fine. All good firefighters are small people. So Greta Gardania looks around, hugging some of the townspeople next to her while others wearily clap her on the back and thanks for their lives. What manner of madness just happened? This can be no accident. Did anyone see anything? Anything at all? One of the guards who was stationed outside before the fire began raises his hand and says, "Aye," says the wearied uniformed man. "The clerk saw everything. It was Calmont, that cad of a bookseller's apprentice. He lit the fires in the hall next to the chamber. He also set that fire monster loose on the crowd." And everyone's like, oh no, the fire monster. The second guard shouts to innocent, "Indeed! And witnesses outside the building saw him run toward Hellknight Hill!" A surprised and worried wave ripples through the crowd at this information.
Hellknight Hill, Hellknight
including
Hill.
Warball's distinct voice,
"The Citadel! I'm Bumble Brashes!"
Greta raises her hand in an authoritative standing, and the crowd begins to calm.
"Friends, we'll get to the bottom of this," she assures them, "but we can't do it alone. Who are the heroes in attendance today? Heroes, are you willing to investigate Hell Knight Hill? And I will see you guys next time."
No!
Oh,
man! We're awesome.
I really like Kizra's, wait, never mind, and then run back.
Yeah, that was great.
He didn't follow.